the times in the Word of God where He says, I give you. And He's given us some great things, and we've looked at a few of those. We've talked about comfort and rest and eternal life and power. And as we finish up this morning, I'm kind of thoughtful, reminded of the way that everybody is, especially kids, but not only kids, are when it comes to Christmas. The thing you'll hear for the next week is you'll hear everybody walking up, and they get to talking, and the first thing they'll say is, "What'd you get for Christmas?" That's what they want to know. And I always kind of like to listen to that, especially when it comes to my kids or my family, somebody that I've gotten them something, because I want to hear what I got them on the list. And what was it that you can about tell with kids what it is, because it's the thing that they're playing with. It's the thing that that they just won't put down, that they continue to play with over and over and over, and so you kind of can pick it out pretty quick with kids. It's, it's not the thing that they go, "Oh," and put on, and, that's not it. That wasn't their favorites. It's pretty obvious with when it comes to children. But as we think about all the things that God has given us, there's one in particular that I think kind of, I don't know that it that it outweighs or is more important than the others, but it certainly makes the others worth having, I think. And that is when Christ says, "I give you peace." What a great statement. We live in a world today where that is a premium. We look around us, and I don't suppose there's probably anybody in this room who has ever lived truly in a time of peace. There's just always been something going on somewhere. I don't guess there's ever been a time in our history, recently anyway, where all of our military personnel were home, where they weren't somewhere guarding something, either fighting, about to fight, or just getting done fighting, it seems like. Even outside of that, we live in a country where we have some cities that are almost war zones, that it's not safe to go out in daylight, let alone after dark. And every time I turn on the news, I hear that we're about to go over a cliff, and I don't know who's driving the bus. And so every time we're just surrounded with things where when Christ says, "I give you peace," most of us say, "Good, I'll take it." It's just a valuable thing. But then we kind of run into this thing. We say, "Okay, well, if He said He's given us peace, where is it? When is that going to happen? Where are we going to see this peace?" I don't know about you, but some of you have to flash back further than others. But if you go back far enough, there was probably a time as a child, maybe even as an adult, where you were positive what you were getting for Christmas. You just knew that you were getting the latest super-duper, new and improved, whatever it is. And you just knew that was there. And when you started opening presents, it wasn't there. And you thought, "Well, I must have missed one. And, oh, well, maybe Grandma's got it for me. Or, maybe I'm getting it." You just kind of, where is it? Honestly, that's kind of the way that you and I are when we hear Christ say, "I give you peace." We look around and say, we don't have it worldwide. We've got soldiers in Afghanistan, Iraq, Germany, Vietnam. Who knows where all we have soldiers stationed and working and in harm's way. We've got again, this cliff we're about to run over, and all we hear about is that. We've got tension continually in the Middle East. Our checkbooks won't balance. The doctors, don't know how to say anything good to you. It's always, it doesn't matter what you do, something's wrong. And we just seem to be missing this idea of peace. Even though at Christmas, we know that it's, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, and we haven't seen a whole lot of either. And so what exactly is the deal with this? With this gift. Let's talk about it for just a moment, and I hope it's something that as you think about it, as you look at it, will prepare you, set you up to go out this Christmas week. And some of you, it's something as simple as you say, "I'm going to my in-law's house. God, give me peace." I don't know if, or worse, they come into your house. That might be the worst part. When they said amen. Is that what you said, Renee? I'm pretty sure I read your lips. Oh, you just laughed. Okay. And then said amen. take her presents back. But we have all these things going on. So let's talk about this peace for a minute that Christ describes. And in John chapter 14, just take a few moments, because Archie sung all day. Just take a real quick look at this one verse, John 14, verse 27. And it's really a simple principle, I think, that Christ shows to us here. First of all, when we look at this passage, we have this promise. Now, I realize there's a real disconnect here. When we hear Christ say, I give you peace, and then we pick up the newspaper or we turn on the news, and everywhere we look, there's anything but peace. There's anything but peace. We've got war here, as the Bible talks about in the last days, wars and rumors of wars. We've got cities right here in our country that are completely unsafe to be on the street. We've got children being killed in their schools. You name it. Everywhere we look, we seem to have the absolute opposite from peace. So how do we reconcile where Christ says, I give you peace? It's a promise that Christ has. The first thing I think we've got to reconcile in our minds and get clear in our minds is, if we're going to say, I believe the Word of God, and the Bible says not to lie, not to steal, says there's a heaven, says there's a hell, says that He's coming back for us, says that He's building a place, all those other things that we believe, then when He says, you know what, I'm going to give you peace, then He wasn't just pulling our leg then either. There's not a maybe or a might or a hope so in us. He says, I leave it with you. My peace I give. And so that is an absolute promise from the Word of God. We can count on that peace. Now, here's where I think the real problem comes, is we don't know what peace looked like if it hit us in the head. We don't know what it looks like. When you and I think of peace, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to do it this morning, but at the first service, I just ask folks, what is peace? And, we get answers like, peace is, no fighting. Well, that's what we think of when we think of peace in our society. We think, peace is what? The absence of war. And he says, that's what we think of as peace. And so, very honestly, I'm not sure we know what we're looking for. We've never really seen peace, for the most part. There's, we've got war in homes, we've got war at work, we've got war in our schools, we've got war on our streets, we've got war around the world. Everywhere we look, we've got anything but peace. And we just don't know what it looks like. And so we think of peace as being this absence of conflict, this absence of fighting, this absence of war. And so that's what we're looking for. But notice what Christ says here. How we have Him promise peace, but He says something, He describes this peace just a little bit for us, when He gives us this picture, when He says, but it's not the peace that the world gives. And so right off, if we look at that closely, we begin to understand, Jesus is talking about something different than you and I are. When He thinks about peace, He thinks about something different than we do. When we think about peace, we think, well, all the soldiers are going to come home. The checkbook's going to balance. The doctor's going to give good news. There's not going to be, we're going to be able to get all the family together this Christmas season in one room, and nobody's going to punch somebody in the throat or anything. That's what we think of as peace. But Jesus says, I'm giving you a peace not as the world gives. So it's different than what you and I think of. The definition, when Christ says, I give you peace, it's not at all what you and I typically think of. And so what in the world is he talking about? Well, again, the Jews would have had a totally different idea about this idea of peace. When they heard the word peace, when they heard shalom, they would have been thinking something totally, completely different. You'll notice in this verse, you notice in other verses we can look at, that Jesus doesn't say, I give you no problems. It's not what he says, is it? He doesn't say, I give you no trouble. He doesn't say, I give you no fighting. He doesn't say, I give you a checkbook that balances. He doesn't say, I give you doctor's reports that are clean. He doesn't say that I give you safety and all those things. What he says is I give you a peace, but it's not what the world thinks of as peace. So what in the world is Jesus talking about? Well, the Jewish idea of peace would have been a lot different. The Jewish idea of peace would have been a calmness. It would have been a completeness, a wholeness. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is a principle that you and I, whether you like it or not, you may as well get a hold of. Because if you remember, Solomon said what? A man's days are few and what? Full of trouble. You know, look around you. Has that proven to be true in your life and in your experience? So it's pretty apparent that Jesus here doesn't say, I give you a world that doesn't have any problems. I give you a world where there's no problems. But he says, I give you peace in spite of the trouble. So here's where that's so great. If you're honest and you're awake, if you're conscious at all, you know that this world is just what Solomon said, full of trouble. You know that if you balance your checkbook today, and I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just being realistic about the world we live in. If you balance your checkbook today, there's a better than average chance the doctor will call tomorrow and tell you something bad. And if you find a pill that will fix that, the next day one of your kids is going to act like a nut. Okay? If you manage to get him straightened out, the next day your wife's going to act like a nut. Merry Christmas. If you get her straightened out, the next day you'll probably act like a nut. Okay? Does that work? You know, all I'm saying is that Solomon said, this world has its troubles. It has its problems. You know, you have experienced them. You have probably already this Christmas season been running around looking for something you couldn't find, and you found that you couldn't afford it, and you bought it for somebody you didn't really like. Who, when you give it to them, they're not really going to appreciate it. Okay? You know that. You know, some of y'all look at me sometimes like I'm crazy. I'm just honest, okay? You know, y'all sit there trying to, oh, no, I'd never say that or do that, but you know it's true. But I told y'all the flannel shirt story. Some of you might as well live that life because it's just as good. Just get them something. You know that life is tough. You know what Jesus says? Jesus doesn't say necessarily I'm going to take away all your tough, all your problems, all the wars, all the battles. But he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a peace through it. That's what he promises. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I like that better than saying there will be no trouble, because I've already learned there's not going to be any. There's not too many days that don't have some measure of trouble. Yeah, and I'm not saying he never does. There are passages in the Scripture where the disciples are out on the ship. They're being tossed and they're being rocked. There's storms, there's waves, there's wind blowing, and Jesus walks out and says, peace be still, and the waves lay down, the winds go back to their corners, and the skies dry up. And sometimes Jesus says, peace be still, and it means no storms. But not always. Here's the trick to learning what Jesus is talking about, is that even in the midst of the storm, knowing I can trust the captain of the ship. Amen. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. He's not saying there'll never be a storm. He's saying there'll never be a storm bigger than he is. See, look what he says. Not only does he give us this picture, and look what he says about the power of it. He says in that verse, look what he says. He says, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He doesn't say there's nothing to be troubled about. He doesn't say there's nothing to be afraid of. He says, don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. He doesn't say there is no trouble. He says, trust me. You know, that's all you think about. And some of you are sitting here looking at me, you know, like my kids are keeping a list of my, you know, like that cat in Newgate. You know, they've got cat in Newgate, cheese slipping off the cracker. I can't remember some of my good ones they've put on their list. But, you know, some of you are looking, isn't that exactly what you tell your children? They're small, and thunderstorm starts, you know, and they're scared of the thunder, they're scared of the lightning, they're scared of the wind. And you go in and you do what? You put your arms around them, and you don't tell them the storm's not real. You don't tell them that lightning's not dangerous. You don't tell them ignore the wind. You tell them, I got you. And nothing will happen to you as long as I'm living. I remember several years ago now, me and Malia and her cousin, we were out walking, and it probably wasn't the best path we'd ever chosen for a walk, because there's a stretch of it where it's a really narrow road and it's dark, and you know, it's not the best place in the world. And I remember them kind of getting nervous and said, let me promise you this, nothing will happen to you until they kill me. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, as long as I'm on the throne, I'm not saying there'll never be a storm. I'm not saying there'll never be a wave. I'm not saying the wind will never blow. But I'm saying, you are my child. Let me worry about it. Let me worry about it. You know why I can say that? Because of the price it costs. Here's what I've thought about as we wrap up this series on the gifts of God. What do you have to do before you give something away, legally speaking? You have to buy it. I had to throw in that legally speaking in this world. You have to buy it. I want to remind you the price of this piece. I want to remind you of what it cost Jesus Christ to tell you you can have comfort, you can have rest, you can have power, you can have eternal life, you can have peace. For Him to give you that great gift, it cost Him His life on a horrible cross. See, the reason He could tell you you can have peace is because He took all the wars and the battles and the pain on His back at Calvary. This morning, I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment as our musicians come. Very simple sermon, very simple invitation. You hear this morning, and there's several ways I want you to approach this passage on peace. There are some of you here this morning who would say, you know what, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind that if I was to die today, I'm going to heaven. But I've been wrestling with some things. I've been struggling with some things. I'm tore up inside, and I need peace. You come to this altar, and me or somebody else, we'll pray with you. We'll seek God's peace for your life, for your circumstance, for your situation. You're here today and you'd say, I know I'm a Christian and I know that He's walked into my life before and brought me through the storm. And I just want to come and kneel and I want to thank Him for that peace. A peace that only He could give. A peace that I know came from heaven itself. And I just want to thank Him for being with me during that time. Most importantly, you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've never ask Him to come into your life as your Savior. You don't know peace. In fact, you're at war. A war for your soul. A war for your eternity. You don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can accept Him as your Savior today. How you can have a peace that the Bible says is indescribable. You need to come this morning. Christians, you need to come thank Him. You need to come and ask Him for peace. You need to come this morning and find peace. Whatever God lays on your heart this morning, will